The Veterans Affairs Department is reeling from allegations made by its own staff that it has mistreated patients. More employees are coming forward to report what they see as systemic wrongdoing. The Office of Special Counsel is looking at 50 cases right now. One of them is that of Valerie Raviello. She's a nurse at the Samuel Stratton VA Medical Center in Albany, and she joins us now, along with attorney Sherry Cannon of the law firm Tully Rinke. Good morning to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Valerie, why don't we start with you? Tell us about your case. Why did you feel the need to speak up? First of all, tell us what you do at the VA Medical Center, and then tell us what you witnessed and what happened.
Yes, I am the nurse manager on the acute inpatient psychiatric unit. I've been at this VA for 28 years, and I've been observing a change in practice where policies, VA policies and procedures are not being followed. Particularly now I'm being retaliated against and basically for taking a patient out of restraints that did not need to be in restraints for the length of time that they were being kept in.
So the particular incident that you're talking about, Valerie, took place a while ago, right? And are you just speaking up now, or has your case been ongoing?
No, this case has been ongoing since, and this particular patient has then been kept in restraints additionally in this past February as well. I have to speak up for the veterans and for my nurses.
So it sounds as if this is a psychiatric patient, and you found and others observed the person to be calm, and yet the doctor in charge had them tied down, basically. Was that what you witnessed?
Yes, the doctors did not want to have the patient released. This is a patient that had military sexual trauma and that had many, many medical issues and who was needing to have her basic care met. She needed to go to the bathroom. She needed to be bathed. She was in pain, that kind of thing.
And Valerie, tell us, you said that you've worked at the VA for 28 years?
Yes, ma'am.
What has been the change in practice that you've witnessed, and to what do you attribute it?
The change in practice is basically that they don't want to follow VA policies and procedures. They just want to be able to do whatever they want to. And it's more, it's a step away from patient-centered care, and it's more physician-driven care. And I see things happening just for the conveniences of the physicians.
So you released this patient in this particular case, I guess, after conferring with some other people that agreed with you. What happened next?
They basically changed their minds and started to retaliate against me and remove me from my position.
And what are you doing now?
They have set me up with a special project kind of thing that I'm supposed to work on. I'm to work on that like 8 hours a day, and I'm not to have any clinical contact or have anything to do with what's happening on my unit. That's what they have me doing, basically.
And so when this happened, who did you tell? Did you go right to Tully Rinke Law Firm, or did you go to the Inspector General, or how did this get out?
No, I first went to the hospital's patient safety officer and my supervisors, who would not listen, and then I sought the assistance of Tully Rinke, yes.
And Sherry, that's a good time for us to bring you in. And we should say that this is being investigated by the Office of Special Counsel. We have not yet reached out to the VA for their comments on it. But Sherry, tell me a little bit about the legal process here, how you picked up Valerie's case and where exactly it is right now.
Yes, when I joined Tully Rinke, Valerie had already complained to the patient safety officer and her supervisors about the care of this particular veteran, and was receiving absolutely no feedback whatsoever. And the firm and I wrote several letters to leadership at VA in Albany, and they basically blew her off and didn't respond to our letters, where we continued to complain about the behavior, not only during the incident and the treatment of this veteran who should not have been restrained in the manner she was, but also they did not really seem to want to respond to Valerie's concerns about her 28-year career and how it was being impacted by the behavior of senior leadership at that center. Subsequent to that, other actions started to occur that dramatically impacted Valerie's career, such as attempted disciplinary action based on her following VA procedures in taking this patient out of restraint. So at that point in time, we filed complaints with the Office of Special Counsel and with the VA Inspector General. So the ongoing OSC has several matters of Valerie's under consideration, and as well the IG, unfortunately the IG will not even acknowledge that they have our complaint. I have made two attempts to get them to at least acknowledge that she has a VA complaint with the IG there, and they have not whatsoever acknowledged her complaint about the care of this patient. And also subsequently, we've discovered that there's other issues up there, including the theft by a staff member of the VA of 5,000 vials of morphine that were intended for veterans at the end of their lives who are in hospice care, and how the internal controls at that hospital could possibly have allowed that is still left to be seen. So there's systemic, what appears to be systemic management failures, not only with Valerie's instance of patient abuse and further instances of abuse of this patient, but also systemically, there seem to be management issues that are attributed to a turnover in management a couple of years ago and a different approach to the care of veterans.
We're speaking with Sherry Cannon. She's a partner at the law firm Tully Grinke, and Valerie Raviello, who's a RN and nursing manager at the VA Medical Center in Albany and also one of the whistleblowers that is being investigated, or her complaints are being investigated by the Office of Special Counsel. So, Sherry, just to clarify then, nothing happened, no reaction until you went to the Office of Special Counsel. That's how high you had to take this in order for something to begin happening.
Yes, the VA itself would not respond to two letters from the law firm, nor would they, of course, respond to Valerie herself over a period of months. And it was not until we went to OSC, where OSC was successful in obtaining VA's in Washington's consent to stopping any action against Valerie while they investigated, were we successful at all in getting through to the VA.
And Valerie, going back to you, since news broke of whistleblower complaints elsewhere at VA hospitals nationwide, has anything in your case changed, or has anything changed for you?
No, I'm pretty much in the same position that I was. I'm still kind of, they bully me, and they kind of are hoping that probably that I will leave.
Do you have any plans to leave?
No, I don't.
And what about at the hospital itself? Have any procedures changed since news of audits and Inspector General investigations, now the Office of Special Counsel investigations?
No, not that I'm aware of.
All right. So then what happens next in all of this? I mean, now it's at the Special Office of Special Counsel, but that they issued a preliminary report on the kind of macro view that they have based on the 50 complaints that have come in. But there's no real action yet. So are we in limbo at this point?
Well, I'll take that question. Yes, the Office of Special Counsel is still investigating Val's reprisal complaint, as well as an investigation into the underlying complaint of abuse of the patients at the hospital. Obviously, they are inundated with complaints by VA employees across the country and elsewhere. And what I see up in Albany is a complete disregard, and I think you're seeing it all over the country, by managers at these local facilities of anything that's said in Washington, D.C. And I think you're seeing that, especially with respect to at least what we're seeing in Val's case, and I watching the media and seeing other accounts by whistleblowers, the local officials are not paying heed at all to what the acting VA secretary is saying, which is that he will not tolerate reprisal against whistleblowers. And I must say that he has put out a lot of statements on this issue, and that he will not tolerate reprisal for whistleblowing. But unfortunately, that message is not being received in Albany, and it's not being received elsewhere. Otherwise, we wouldn't need the Office of Special Counsel's intervention at this point or ongoing. And so that, to me, no real systemic changes are going to occur, not only in the treatment of employees, but in the treatment of patients, until the VA here in Washington gets serious with the with the hospitals themselves.
And Valerie, I wanted to return to the case of that patient for a moment. You said that a change in policy or something, a change not in policy, but a change in practice contrary to policy occurred. What is the policy as you understand it for restraint of patients, and how did the orders differ from that policy?
Basically, we're supposed to be alleviating restraints, period, and becoming a restraint-free environment. That's the first thing. The second thing is that nurses are required to assess and reassess patients every 15 minutes for their ability to be released from restraints, and that we are to release them as soon as possible. They are only to be restrained for an imminent danger to self or others, and as soon as possible be released. Also, a nurse does not need a doctor's order to remove a patient from restraints. This particular patient was kept in restraints at one point for 7 consecutive hours and at another point for 49 consecutive hours.
And I have a question for both of you. First of all, Sherry, I know that before you joined the law firm, you also were at a different federal agency. So considering your experience there, you said that the VA headquarters has to get serious about protecting whistleblowers and investigating their allegations. What do you mean by that, and how would you compare it with your past experiences?
Well, my past experience, I worked at 3 federal agencies, most recently at the United States Air Force. And when allegations, very serious allegations, were raised by whistleblowers concerning activity at the Doverport Mortuary, Air Force senior leadership was extremely involved in making sure that those whistleblowers were protected from any further activity of managers locally, and they were very concerned that the processes were allowed to play through, that the OSC was allowed to continue its investigation, and the allegations were gotten to the bottom of. I don't see the same thing going on here at the VA. I think it's all lip service by the VA headquarters and the acting secretary that they want to protect these whistleblowers. But if they really want to protect them, I would suggest that he bring them all in and speak to them about their experiences, not only as employees, but of people who care for veterans and the care that veterans are getting in these hospitals. And he might see firsthand what is really going on in these places. And to me, it's a lack of accountability between the hospitals, wherever located, and the central office, which should be taking more care to be sure that you don't have managers and executives and senior doctors in these facilities taking on the role of making policy and changing policy without going to the headquarters.
And Valerie, I want to ask you the same question from your perspective as a nurse up there in Albany. What do you want VA headquarters to do? How should it get serious, to use Sherry's terms?
I think that the VA headquarters should have more oversight over what's happening at the individual VAs. I think that they should be speaking to the frontline staff and what's going on. Nurses are very important. They work 24/7 with the veterans, and they are disregarding our input and our assessments. I'm hoping that the veterans need to be taken care of, and I really don't think they understand truly what is going on there. These patients do not deserve to be tied down. People that have military sexual trauma, have traumatic brain injuries, are coming back with all sorts of things. We need to find a way so that we don't even use restraints at all.
Valerie Riviello is a nursing manager up at the VA hospital in Albany. And Valerie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Sherry Cannon is a partner at the law firm Tully Rinke. She is representing Valerie in her whistleblower case. Sherry, thank you.
Thank you.